Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Preds get 2 points last night at Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in sports. True story, Derek Mason, not that you care. First time I ever went to a sporting event, ever in my life. Little 5-year-old me. Madison Square Garden, New York Rangers hockey game. My dad took me. First place I ever went to a sporting event. I feel pretty lucky that Madison Square Garden was my first ever sporting event. Yeah. I lived up in the area when I was a kid in the late 80s, so like 1987.
I went to the Garden. Garden's a special place.
It is. It is. And the Preds got 2 points there last night.
Absolutely.
Most importantly.
They needed that.
The defenseman scoring 4 times. Rocco Grimaldi gets on the board. UC Saros plays really well. Not a pretty game. Matias Ekholm started the day in Nashville, was sick, I guess, yesterday. Got on a plane, flew up there, jumped off the plane, and scored a goal on a breakaway, jumping out of the box there. And Roman Josi with 2 huge goals. They cut the lead. Artemi Panarin cuts the lead to 3-2. And then Josi with the long sort of like the lob pass there with the little chip shot, and they go ahead and they 2 empty netters there at the end to pull away 5-2. Most importantly, they pick up 2 points after 2 losses. Now won 3 out of 5. So again, like as is the case in hockey all the time, it's about stringing together not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games, but you got to string together 15, 18, 20 game stretches where you're playing at a 75% clip and you're going, 13-6-2 or something, right? Like you need to be playing good hockey for a month and a half. And that just hasn't happened yet for this team. They did move up from 12th to 11th place. So,
woo-hoo.
All right, there we go. But you're right back
Any
on the
steps is better than no steps.
Exactly. And you're right back on the ice tonight. So you play well against the bad Rangers team. Well, you're playing a much better Islanders team this tonight. And there's Barry Trotz ties, obviously, pregame at 5. Puck drop at 6, so you can't depend on the defense to continue to carry you like this. Ellis and Josi have been spectacular all season from an offensive output standpoint. It's okay to ask more of Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg. I think it's okay for people and fans to say, I need more from the 2 best, most talented players on the team right now that are also getting paid amongst the highest salaries on the team. Duchesne has been very productive at times, but also could use... He's been in a bit of a slump, so the highest-paid players on offense need to deliver. The highest-paid players on defense are delivering. The goaltending was excellent last night.
Yes.
The highest-paid offensive players need to start scoring goals.
Yeah. Since their 7-game skid, their last 11 games, I think they're 6-5. They win 2, they lose a game. They win a game, they lose 2. They win 2, they lose 2. They win. I mean, if they want to, and I know – they move 1 spot up. And again, any movement up is better than no movement or movement back. But like you said, they got to have a month where they're winning 75% of their games to get them, because they're not out of this hole. And if they keep on playing this consistent back and forth type of hockey because they've dug themselves such a hole, then they're going to find themselves, in a situation where, they have not been in the last, 4 or 5 seasons. So they got to find a way that they spend, the rest of December into January where they're winning, 75% of their games just to kind of climb themselves out of this hole that they've dug.
Now, they do have some games in hand, so they've got a chance to pick up some points. And certainly with 4 straight games here on the road, it's going to be tough. But you start out well. You score 5 goals. Your goaltender plays well. There are positives to be taken from that. They haven't been able to build any momentum outside of the first couple of weeks of the season where they were shooting at a ridiculous clip that we all knew they couldn't maintain. Outside of that, there was a large, long chunk of bad, bad, bad hockey. And outside of that, it's sort of just been up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. So there needs to be an extended period of momentum. And it felt like they had regained some of that. Then the schedule got tougher with games against Buffalo and Dallas. and all of a sudden you lay two eggs and all that momentum is gone. You can't afford to do that right now.
No, you can't. I was talking with someone, I think last week, and someone from out of town, they were saying, well, the Preds are not doing as well this season. I was like, yeah, they're not. And it was like, well, what's going on?
Everyone is asking that question outside of the
Because to them, it's like they didn't make any huge changes. It's not like it's been an overhaul of the roster.
Well, they added Matt Duchene.
I said, yeah, exactly. And you figure you add Matt Duchene, your team should get better. I said, I really don't know. Can you point at, P.K. Subban because of his defensive prowess? You don't have that now? I don't know.
That's fair.
But I think everyone's trying to figure out, like we are, and it's sort of good nationally that everybody recognizes that this team, they're not playing well.
Yeah, expectations have been
exactly
raised.
Absolutely. So it's not just the expectations here in Nashville. I think it's the expectations of those in the hockey world.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That the Predators are not meeting.
ESPN 102.5 The Game is bringing you The Road to Dallas, Nashville's best coverage of the Winter Classic. Keep up with all you need to know about the Winter Classic as the Preds face the Stars in Dallas on New Year's Day. Special programming and live coverage from Dallas all month long. Hit up thegamenashville.com for full programming information. The Road to Dallas is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Should be a spectacular New Year's Day in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. Should be a ton of fun. Preds win last night, 5-2. No rest for the weary. Back on the ice tonight. Pre-game at 5, puck drop at 6, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What does the AFC playoff picture look like after this weekend? The Colts giving the Titans a little bit of help last night. What do the tiebreakers look like? What are the scenarios? We'll lay it all out for you and try to explain it and make some sense of it when we come back. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive.
All right. Who wants to win a 4-pack of tickets to Monster Jam? Triple Threat Series at Bridgestone Arena. You'll see the Grave Digger.
That's right.
Blue Thunder, El Toro Loco.
Grave Digger's like the Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Grave Digger's like, he's like Hulk Hogan. He's like the Hogan of this.
I mean, it's the coolest monster truck ever.
Yeah.
It's not even close.
So if you want to see those, if you want to win a 4-pack of tickets, then be caller number 6.
Whoa, number 6. I do like El Toro Loco. I do like the Wild Bull. That sounds
El
cool.
Toro
the
Crazy Bull. Loco.
Not to be confused with El Pollo Loco in California.
Yes,
it's some chicken. It's pretty good.
Is that what you get there, chicken? You sure?
Yeah.
Sure you don't get something else? Blue. What was it? Blue Crystal or Blue? What was it called? Isn't the Pollo Loco the one that Walter White uses to distribute his...
It was something similar to El Pollo Loco.
Okay. I thought...
But no, that's not where I get that. That's where I get chicken.
Oh, there's an actual place called Pollo Loco. Okay.
Chicken.
Pollo. All right. So, Tennessee Titans, we've discussed their loss, and we sort of have to start looking ahead to the Saints. But the Saints played last night, and while they looked terrifyingly good, according to Titans Twitter, I think everybody was losing their minds a little bit yesterday watching Drew Brees. He's very good. Yes, it's going to be a hard game. Yes, of course. Guess what? It's the NFL. You can beat anybody. The Colts losing yesterday, however, was a big deal because – the Colts fall to 6-8 and are now eliminated from the playoffs. Titans' percentage of chance of making the playoffs, according to 538, moves from 54% to 58%. There is a possibility the Tennessee Titans can win both of their games and go 10-6 and miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's a possibility that they can lose both of their games, fall to 8-8, and still make the playoffs. So there are so many possibilities from here on out. It makes my head hurt just trying to sort it all out. Essentially, if you're going to go 1-1 to make the playoffs, you're going to have to beat the Texans, and therefore the Saints game is not as important. Either way, you're going to need the Pittsburgh Steelers to lose a game somewhere along the way because they have the tiebreaker. If you go 2-0 and they go 2-0 and you both finish 10-6, the Steelers get in. If you both lose and you go 0-2 and 0-2 and you both finish at 8-8, the Titans have the fourth tiebreaker, which is strength of victory. If you go 9-7 and you beat the Saints and the Steelers go 9-7 and you're tied, then the Steelers have the tiebreaker. If you go 9-7 but you beat the Texans, that increases your AFC record, and then you have the tiebreaker over the Steelers. It's incredibly complicated. The Titans still have a chance to make the playoffs in a very big way, and it's basically down to them and the Steelers.
Yeah, it is. the Titans just need to win the next two games. Win the next two games, and then, you know, let happen whatever's going to happen, let it happen. Because at least if you win the next two games, you finish 10-6. 10-6 obviously is a upgrade from 9-7 last year. And if you don't make the playoffs at 10-6, you can still say, you know what, we finished the season off the way we wanted to, minus the playoffs. We went on a streak here. We were arguably the best team other than the Baltimore Ravens in the National Football League the last half of the season. So just win the next two games. Yes, it was a bummer that you lost against Houston, but win the next two games. And then you just hope that Pittsburgh, you want Pittsburgh to lose this week, because I feel if they lose this week to the Jets, Baltimore, with their win, I believe, this week, they would have secured home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
I think so, yeah.
Because they have the tiebreaker. The Patriots are 11-3, and if they lose one more game, both of them end the season at 13-3, somewhere around there. But they will own the tiebreaker. And then they will sit their players at the end of the season, which means Pittsburgh will have a better shot at winning that game. So Titans, win your games. Hope that Pittsburgh loses against the Jets, because more than likely, Baltimore will sit all their key players, knowing that they have 2 weeks to rest.
What happens? How do the fans? And I was just asked this on Twitter by Nate at Braden Gall. What happens if this team goes 10-6 and misses the playoffs? How does this season viewed? I think it's viewed pretty positively.
Yeah.
Through a lot of different lenses. Number one, you feel like you found your answer at quarterback. Whether you can negotiate a contract with him or not is irrelevant, because you've got the franchise tag. So if you really think he's the guy for the next year or two, you can tag him both years, draft a guy, and then, you know, figure out what the plan is after that. 10-6 is also an improvement. 10-win season is a good season in the NFL. It just sucks that you weren't in the NFC East.
Yeah. Like, well, what happens is, I guarantee, this is what's going to be the talk. I would bet just about everything that I have. If this team finishes 10-6 and they don't make the playoffs, Titan fans are going to say, why didn't you insert Ryan Tannehill a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier? You know that's going to be the talk.
Well, it's
going to
be.
You know it's going to be the talk.
It's going to be worse than that. It's going to be, why didn't you start him from week one?
Exactly.
The problem is that's revisionist history.
And absolutely.
Other than the, I would argue, 2-4% of Titans fans. If you can show me a tweet or a phone call or anything that you've got evidence of that you thought Ryan Tannehill should have started week one, which means you had to have said it on that week.
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't come back now and say, oh, I thought that. No, because 98% of you Titans fans didn't think Ryan Tannehill should start week one. Nobody in the media thought Ryan Tannehill should start week one. Nobody in the organization thought Ryan Tannehill should start week one. Maybe somebody, maybe one person who was floating rumors to, you know, Diana Russini and Benjamin Albright or whatever, like, who knows. But no one thought that he should start week one. And so that's revisionist history to say, well, what if? Sure, you can ask yourself the question, but, like, what good does it do you?
It's not going to do any good. But, you know, that's going to be,
of course,
you know, one of the talking points, one of the questions. Well, why didn't they?
Especially after week one, yeah, why didn't they go to Cleveland?
Why didn't they go to Tannehill earlier?
Like, they were
I don't know.
They were 2-2 without Taylor Lewan, and they had torched Atlanta on the road, and they had torched Cleveland on the road. No one was calling for Ryan Tannehill.
No
one was calling, unless you were the true diehard Tannistan.
Yeah.
You know, unless you were that guy, which, again, I need evidence. You got to show me evidence that you called that.
But I think on this show, we did point out that even though that victory against Cleveland looked like a blowout, it really wasn't a blowout. That game was close all the way up until the fourth quarter. And because the defense, then the offense wasn't playing as good, because the defense got turnovers, the offense capitalized on those turnovers. That offense wasn't playing well the first five or six games. And some of it can be contributed to Taylor not being there. I get it. That's why people are going to say, well, why didn't they make the decision sooner? Because, yes, they were 2-2, but the offense wasn't playing well. Even at 2-2, the defense was carrying a 2-2 tight team rather than, you know, the offense doing it.
I get that special teams were also still the same problem they were today. Yeah. That was a big issue. I just don't, like, unless you can show me evidence that you thought after beating Cleveland in week one that you believe that Ryan Tannehill should be the starter, I think it was an extraordinarily small percentage of people that actually thought that at the time. It's no different than the Derrick Henry situation. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry wasn't good prior to getting benched last year. Matt LaFleur did give him the football. We said it yesterday on the show. We've said it a million times. They gave him the football a boatload in weeks 1, 2, and 3. They gave him the football. He said himself, don't listen to me, listen to Derrick Henry. He said, I'm garbage, I'm trash, I need to be better. He got benched for David Flewellen, and guess what? He came back a different player, and to his credit, he has been dominant ever since that game. Ever since coming back from that moment, he's been dominant. And it doesn't change the fact that he wasn't very good prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't have it both ways. Like, so, again, you're right. That's going to be a topic. Everyone's going to go to that, and everyone's going to say, oh, well, what would this team look like had Ryan Tannehill started week one? You can do that to yourself if you want to, mm-hmm. but I don't know what purpose that serves, because no one thought at the time that he should be starting.
Exactly.
And you know, if you want to argue the Denver game, like, hey, maybe we saw this coming. He should have started for the Denver game. Okay, again, show me the evidence that you thought Ryan Tannehill should have started that game. And if you've said so, then great. Good for you. You got it right. Does it mean they go on the road and beat Denver? Who knows? The offensive line was still atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
Tannehill got sacked a bunch in that second half and turned the ball over through an interception in garbage time against the Broncos. So, like, it's just, it's all revisionist history. We are where we are. You got two games right now to try to go make the playoffs. Go win.
That's all you can do.
It's the same with the Texans. Like, it's kind of like a microcosm of every game, right? Like, you can say that Firkser should have caught the touchdown, or that, you know, whatever play you want, that blocked field goal, whatever play you want to point to, the fake punt. The point is that you battled back and the game was tied at 14.
Mm-hmm.
You had a tie game in the second half against the Texans, and you didn't make enough plays to win the game. You didn't pressure Deshaun Watson, and you couldn't cover Nuke Hopkins.
Not when you needed to, anyway.
At some point, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, we just didn't make enough plays.
Well, I think, you know, the biggest disappointment in that game is that...
And the players are doing this, by the way. I'm not putting this on the players.
Exactly. The biggest disappointment in that game was this team came out and played. They didn't play as if they wanted to take sole control of the AFC South.
Yeah,
it was a little bit lethargic. And then the best player in the secondary, not named Kevin Byard, gave up 2 touchdowns. Logan Ryan. And this is a guy that's a veteran guy, really good player, and you would have expected touchdowns from somebody else because they were on the outside, but you would have never thought that Logan Ryan would give up 2 touchdown passes.
And he did, and get beat badly.
Exactly.
Like, beat badly. Jay on Twitter says, I hear the talk about the Ravens resting players, but would it also not be satisfactory for the Ravens to keep their most heated rival out of the playoffs, meaning the Steelers, not the Titans, by the way, meaning the Steelers. But here's the other angle to that. Mm-hmm. The Steelers, I think, are less dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Titans are the team you don't want to face in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you could argue, well, if we just go in and sandbag this game against the Steelers, we're putting the Steelers and old Duck Hodges into the playoffs instead of, you know, smoking hot Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. And
can't believe I'm saying that, but
I'm not, if I've secured home field advantage throughout the playoffs, I am not taking a chance with my quarterback.
I'm
just not. I'm pulling him.
I might leave everybody else.
Yeah,
in the game,
I might
but
let
not,
everybody else play, but I am not letting Mark Jackson play.
Especially not the guy everyone's like, oh, I think he's going to get hurt in his career.
Exactly. Like, him, I am pulling.
He's literally the guy everyone's like worried about getting hurt.
Absolutely.
Take the guy. If you miss any of the show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio. Rate, review, and subscribe today. At 1025 underscore MD, of course, is the question for the Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Worst holiday cooking disaster. Tweet at 1025 underscore MD, and we'll give you a $100 gift card at the end of the show. Worst disaster on the Twitters. But you got to be on the Twitters there, at 1025 underscore MD. Your calls on the Ryan Tannehill. If you've got evidence that you said Ryan Tannehill should have started in week one or two, that's fine. You get credit. You deserve all the points, and I'll take you to Vegas with me the next time I go. But I need evidence. Your call is next when we return right here on Morning Drive. So, of course, the chicken restaurant in Breaking Bad is Los Pollos Hermanos, which I believe is the Chicken Brothers. So, my bad on that one. El Pollo Loco is an actual restaurant, Marquis.
Yes, it is.
Nah. You're from out there. I should trust you.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
El Pollo Loco, big deal. That's what the tagline is. I don't know why.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So, apparently, Walter White was not moving his meth through El Pollo Loco.
That is reckless speculation on your part, sir.
Yeah, that's very reckless.
El Pollo Loco is a fine establishment.
No.
Thank you very much.
Los Pollos Hermanos. My bad. All right, we'll get to your phone calls here momentarily. So, I wanted to make sure I got that right, because it's a great television show, you know? Great television show, Breaking Bad. Tyrekus wants to join us now on the show. Tyrekus always goes to the front of the line. What's up, my man?
Man, you know what I'm saying? You know I got to, man. Hold on, give me 1 second. Let me 1 second. I'm in Target. I'm sorry. I'm on the phone. Listen, man. So I always knew Marcus Mariota was garbage, man. I'm the guy who called and said we need to bench him for a block of cheese. That should be the proof right there. But when you look at it, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I look at it like this. I feel like the only reason why Marcus Mariota was starting is because of Amy. I feel like the coach, the general manager, everybody knew Marcus wasn't the answer. So they just did what Amy wanted them to do until it was too late, and they finally benched him. I appreciate that, boss.
Yeah, so this is an interesting question here, because I don't think – and you tell me what you think about this, uh-huh. Derek, because Tyrekus brings up an interesting point about Marcus. I find it, and this also could tie into Peter Laviolette and Kyle Turris to some degree as well. I find it hard to believe that an NFL or NHL head coach whose job is worth millions of dollars would ever do something that he didn't think helps his team win. And if you're going to recklessly speculate about some personal relationship between Peter Laviolette and Kyle Turris, what you're suggesting is that Peter Laviolette is going to do something that hurts his team because of personal issues. Now, that's not the same thing as what Tyrekus has just said about Mike Vrabel. But what you're saying is you're saying personal feelings from an owner are trumping your decision as the coach as to what's best for your team. And I find it hard to believe that Amy Adams Strunk gets that deep in the weeds on making football decisions. Because when Marcus played bad against Denver, Vrabel pulled him out of there in 2 seconds. He didn't waffle. He didn't waver. He pulled him out, and he put Tannehill in, and the rest is history. I find it hard to believe that there was, quote, meddling.
It's not far-fetched. Bud Adams wanted Vince Young, and they got Vince Young.
Now, that's a draft. That's decision to draft a player. Jeff Fisher didn't want Vince Young, right?
Yeah.
Famously.
Jerry Jones wanted somebody else. They forced Jerry out of the room and made the quick
call.
Exactly.
They drafted a center from Wisconsin instead of Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jerry, we got a phone call. Can you come take this phone call?
And it's worked out for the Cowboys from that respect. It's not far-fetched, because when it comes down to it, this is her team. So whatever
she chooses. It just doesn't strike me as that personal, at all.
I get what you're saying, but again, it's her team, and I can see
why's Tyrekus got to be stirring it up, man.
Amy,
come on, man,
saying, you know, let's give him an opportunity to earn that next contract. Let's not just get Ryan Tannehill and make him the starter. Let's give Marcus a shot at earning another contract. I can see that being. I can't see her saying, "No, he's the starter. Nothing else."
Right.
Until I say, otherwise.
Let's say I'm the owner and you're Mike Vrabel, and I come to you and I say that. Isn't your response like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa"? You're not going to let me make the decision for what I think's best for the football team?
Oh yeah,
aren't you going to lose your mind at that point?
As a head coach, you're going to say you're going to have a comeback. You're going to say, well, this is why I feel that maybe that's not the right approach. But then ultimately, she's the one that's writing everybody's checks.
Well,
she's
the
one that's signing everybody's checks. And if she says give Marcus an opportunity, because here's the thing.
I find it very far-fetched.
If Marcus wasn't bad, he wasn't you know, Blake Bortles bad.
He was having the best statistical start to his career.
Good. Yeah, and I can see Amy saying, give him a chance. Give him a chance to earn that name. Give him a chance to win this. Give him a chance to continue to win this team over. Give him a chance to earn that. And if by whatever game it is, or by this point in the season, if he hasn't truly taken hold of it, then you make that decision.
But even then, if I'm the coach, I'm looking at my owner going, you're telling me I've got to get to week six before I can make a decision on a player? Like, no, you don't do this with any other player. I pull a guy out of the game in 1 second. I benched Derrick Henry last week.
The quarterback position is different.
But here's the other thing. There is also a difference. Because Tyreek is amongst many fans who did not think that Marcus Mariota was the answer long-term for the Titans. Uh-huh. That is a totally fair assessment. That's one that I was dead wrong about. I thought he would be the answer. But to say that Marcus isn't the answer isn't the same thing as saying Ryan Tannehill was. No one in their right mind, no one, show me the tweet, show me the phone call, when they acquired Ryan Tannehill, forcing the Dolphins to pay $5 million of the $7 million salary, said that he was going to be a $100 million quarterback. Nobody thought that.
I don't think anyone ever.
A lot of people thought Marcus wasn't the answer, and that is fair. I totally acknowledge that that's the case. My point is that no one was pointed to an actual answer on the roster. They were saying, "Oh, it's time to draft somebody. Let's go get Tua." You know what I mean? Like it was. That's a different conversation than saying
he's not.
Oh, by the way, Ryan Tannehill is going to play the best season of his career this year. We should start him right now, week one.
I don't think anyone ever thought that Ryan would come in here and play the way he's playing now.
Thank God he has. It's
because
been fun.
His history just hadn't shown that. Now, he's played good at times, but his history hadn't shown historic play. It just hadn't shown that. But, I mean, I can recall us having this conversation, and I think I said, well, by week, I think it was week six, game six or seven, if this team is not in a position where they're in the run for a playoffs, don't be surprised if they pull Marcus for Ryan Tannehill.
I think can remember saying that. We all knew that was a possibility.
For some reason, it happened that way, that this team was going the opposite way.
Yeah.
And they had to make a move. Now, we didn't think that, you know, that he would play this way. I just thought that
he was going to be given the chance.
He would be the best player. He would be the best option for the job right now. I'm not saying that he was better than Marcus or not. He just gave them the best opportunity to win today. Now, what that means next year, I don't know. But right now, I just felt that at that particular time, he gave them the best opportunity to win this season. I don't know what it's going to look like next season, but he gave them the best opportunity with this cast of characters, the way they want to play football. He gave them the best opportunity to win this year. And it has worked out that way. Now, they still got two games left.
Like I was the biggest Marcus supporter of anybody out here. And even I said dozens of times during the summer, just like with Jeremy Pruitt as the Tennessee Volunteers head football coach, hey, none of us really know. We're all guessing here. We're all going to learn together. And Marcus made the decision easy.
Mm-hmm.
Against Denver, he made the decision easy to switch to Ryan Tannehill. Thank God for Titans fans that he made the decision easy. And I think people love Marcus and respect him as a guy, but they don't. His time here is done. He's going to move on. The Titans are okay. They're going to move on with Ryan Tannehill in some way, shape, or form, probably with maybe a franchise tag, maybe a bridge deal, maybe a four-year contract. Who knows what it's going to look like in the future. But nobody – even – again, it's just – this all stems from – the inevitable question of, man, if we miss if we go 10-6 and we have a really good season and we miss the playoffs by a tiebreaker and we missed it by one game again for like the third year and four times, what would have happened had we played Tannehill? And I just don't think you should do that to yourself as a Titans fan.
No, because you're going
to
run yourself crazy.
Because you're going to go insane thinking about it because, yes, obviously the offense is different with him. But you didn't have Taylor Lewan, and nobody really thought that was the right move at the time. Even Stillman just texted me and said, hey, so-and-so said this summer that Tannehill will be the starter in 2020. Okay, that's 2020.
Yeah, that ain't 2019.
That ain't week one against Cleveland when Marcus put up big numbers against Atlanta in week four when Marcus put up big. Again, Marcus was off to the best statistical start to his career. in the first 4 weeks. You and I knew, and everybody knew that the offense wasn't the reason that they were winning all these, you know.
Exactly.
Like, they weren't playing great football, but statistically, he was off to the best start of his career, like 7 or 8 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah.
Through like 4 games. And they were 2-2 without their best player, Taylor Lewan. And we all said, if they go 2-2, we'll take it.
Exactly.
Guess what? That loss to the Colts might have cost you the playoffs. Yeah. And yet, sure, you can blame Tannehill and Marcus, but you can also blame Taylor Lewan. You can blame the defense for letting Jordan Wilkins run for 60 yards down to the 5-yard line or whatever for a touchdown. You can blame the stinking kickers.
Yeah.
The kicking game in every game they've lost, you can probably point to special teams. It's not just one guy. It's not just one personnel decision. And you're going to drive yourself crazy if you do that. I don't know. That's my advice to people. Hindsight's 2020, though. What are you going to do? Stick to sports when we come back. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson spinning the hits. At 1025 underscore MD for the Twitter contest for A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa today. Tweet us your Christmas cooking or holiday cooking disaster. We had a goose that burnt down a kitchen. So that's on the list already.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you've got one that's worse than a goose. Now, I honestly, and maybe we should just make this a stick to sports question. I'm not sure, but like, do people cook geese for Christmas dinner?
I guess somebody does.
I feel like this is like,
maybe that's a family tradition.
This is like 1800s England that made geese for Christmas dinner or something. I love duck. Don't get me wrong. I like the heck out of some duck. All right, let's make it a stick to sports question. Go ahead, Marquise.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumble it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
And once again, Stick to Sports is brought to you by Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den. Men, when you're ready to decorate your home, office, outdoor spaces, if you don't have the time, you're in the missus, and you're busy, go check out Decorated Den Interiors. Bonnie, she will get your place looking fabulous. So go get a complimentary, request a complimentary appointment. That's what it is. Online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
Geese, who eats them?
Great question, Marquise. I feel like old members of parliament. I don't know. Like,
geese, goose.
Like, I've heard of a Christmas goose. Like, I've heard of that.
Never eaten that.
But I feel like I've watched it in, like a Disney movie from, like, the 60s. Honestly, like, I don't...
Never had goose meat. Was it geese meat?
Goose,
I don't know.
Goose meat?
Yeah, I've never had it.
Goose necks? Yeah. I don't know. Like, what? Have you ever had goose, Marquise?
Yeah, have you ever had goose?
No, I never had.
They serve that in L.A.? Well, either Lower Alabama or Los Angeles?
Exactly.
Either
one? Neither one. I've never tried it before.
I so haven't either, and I've tried everything.
Goose. Never had it, never will.
Play duck goose.
Goose, don't need it, don't want it.
Goose and Maverick.
But you're right, though. Wasn't there a time where, like, you cooked a Christmas goose? I've never seen, like, geese honking up through the sky going, like to try one of those.
Never thought that when I seen them fly over my head.
Now, when I see duck, I look for the shotgun.
Man. Oh.
Dude,
hey,
I want
the way it is.
Dude, duck is legit, man. It is so delicious.
I never had duck. No,
oh, my God, dude.
So
it's
for
so
the Christmas
good.
Party.
I'm taking you out, all right?
Hey, I'm down.
By the way, I still owe you a bottle of Grand Marnier, Derek.
Hey,
absolutely.
I'm always down for a cheap date.
How about this? Since Marquise and I have utterly dominated the Morning Drive Fantasy League, including you, Derek, we need to put something on the line. I'll buy you some duck.
You want to buy me
he doesn't even want that. It's like,
exactly. He doesn't want the duck.
I'm telling you, I'm thinking it is like some Jack?
No, dude. I already gave you a bottle of Jack. Like
you want
a couple
a
weeks
sandwich?
Ago.
This some mustard?
No, I'm
mayo.
Telling you. No. It's like a well done or like a medium rare steak. Uh-huh. You get duck breast, like medium rare. It's almost like seared tuna, like ahi tuna. It's like medium rare, and it is like absolute butter. Oh, my
and
God.
Just give
delicious.
Me like a 12 pack of like Hot Pockets, and we call it. Call it a day.
Come on, man.
Hot Pockets.
That's insane.
Number two.
All right, give me some wings, because I like wings.
I like wings, too.
I do love
on,
some
I'm
wings.
I'm with you on that.
I can get some wings,
wings
all day.
No. Duck wings?
No. Just regular
chicken wings.
Just regular okay. wings. Okay, so there is a high school coach that is under fire for taking his soccer team to a restaurant. You guys remember when you guys used to win games, your coaches used to take you to like restaurants and stuff.
Oh, pizza buffet? Absolutely.
Yeah. So apparently this high school coach took his team to Hooters, and now he's under fire because he took his team after a loss, by the way, but this was a loss in the championship game.
That'll cheer you up if you're a teenage kid.
Yeah, so he took his high school team to Hooters, and now he's getting flack for it because Hooters got some good wings, though.
But Hooters is not...
Wings are overrated.
Hooters is not the Hooters of 10 years ago.
Yeah, we have the internet now.
Yeah, 15 years ago. They are not... You don't walk in and all of a sudden think you're at a... late night, you know, place, establishment.
Yep.
They are dressed. They are covered up. And you see...
Aren't they?
You
know, weren't they always dressed?
There were
times in Hooters were
dressed,
naked?
But they were scantily dressed.
Well, right, but that's still dressed. It's like going to a pool.
Exactly.
It's like going to a
sporting
event.
So why would you be upset if you took your kid to Hooters? I mean, it's not like they're running around, you know, with nothing on.
Was there a time when they were wearing nothing? I don't think
never been a time where they've been, but they revealed more.
Okay.
It was like more revealing.
Like they don't have enough pieces of flair on?
Exactly. Absolutely.
I need you to wear more flair.
I guess they've changed their, you know, where the women, you know, they have on shirts and, you know, and everything else. It's more covered up than it used to be.
I guess I always thought they had on shirts.
No, it's more covered up than when it used to be.
Yeah, it's a little bit more covered up.
Yeah. Who cares I don't know, like it's not my place of choice. I don't really care. It's not really my jam, but if my 15-year-old son was taking a Hooters, I guess I'd be like, did you have fun?
Yeah, was the food good? I mean,
I said, what'd you eat? Do you remember?
I don't know if I would consider that.
It's not out of line.
Yeah, it's not out of line.
It's not exactly ideal, but.
Yeah, but it's not out of line.
People are too sensitive.
You know, because obviously when you play sports, it's a sports feel. So maybe that was like the only sports place, like bar that they can go to area. Like, I don't know.
I feel like that's not the answer. I feel like you were taking a bunch of.
Well, they probably go there and you get cheaper wings. I don't know.
I feel like you were looking at a collection of teenage boys saying, where am I going to take these guys that they're going to have a memorable time? And you thought it would be probably enjoyable for them, and it probably was enjoyable for them.
I don't think I ever.
Would
if
every
I'm a parent
love that?
Yeah.
Probably not. But like,
if I'm a parent, I'm not making a big deal about it because if you take them to the local pool, it's the same thing.
Right.
If you take them to a sporting event, it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
No, for the cheerleaders, if they're sitting there watching the cheerleaders,
dude,
it's the same thing.
How you got to have like front row seats to look at cheerleaders?
No, you could see those cheerleaders from anywhere. Yeah, if you're not at the top. You can see those cheerleaders. You
got to be lower bowl in like one half of the field to see the cheerleaders like you would see a Hooters waitress. That Hooters waitress is standing 5 feet from you, man.
It's the same thing. Exactly. Same outfit. Well, actually, it might be a little bit more revealing.
The pool or the beach. The pool or the beach is the best argument because they're even more scantily clad.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, if you're going to take some teenagers to the neighborhood pool, then who cares? Like, I don't know. A little overreaction, I guess.
Yeah.
Man, Butters just wanted to find love, man. That's all.
Hamburgers. Number three.
Do you remember that episode?
Oh, hamburgers.
Yeah. I know Butter, man. Dude, don't mess with me with South Park now.
Oh, man. We'll talk about that one during the break. But a Wisconsin woman calls the police. Now, a weird reason to call the police because, quite frankly, you probably get this at any restaurant or any fast food place you go to because the employee at KFC had an attitude. So this Wisconsin woman found her order, and I guess it wasn't to her liking. Her chicken sandwich wasn't to her liking, and then the drive-thru worker got an attitude with her. So she called the cops because she didn't feel comfortable eating the replacement meal and demanded a refund. Apparently she didn't get it, so she had to call the cops on them. And then what's funny about this is a second, like, a customer tried to intervene, and then he also got into a confrontation with the people at the fast food restaurant. So it's just like, if the food's not right, if you don't get your refund, I kind of just chalk it up and I leave and I never go back to that place again and complain about them on Yelp like everybody else does. Like, that's what you normally do. I wouldn't, like, the police got other things to worry about your chicken sandwich.
Another great South Park episode. The Yelp reviewers were fantastic. Why police?
I don't.
That's my tax dollars hard at work.
Unless there was a physical confrontation, then just give me my money back. The food, it wasn't made to my liking.
And if you're an establishment and someone says, hey, this isn't what I ordered, or hey, this isn't how I liked it.
Exactly.
Your job as customer service is to say, oh, sorry about that. What can we do to fix this?
Exactly.
You either refund the money or you bring them a new meal, and that's the end of it.
And it's always a two-way street because sometimes...
Well, don't be a jerk about it.
Yeah, because sometimes like a customer can be a jerk about it, and the people in the customer service industry is trying not to be, right. But it may be coming across as that because you're being a jerk. So it's always like you got to... just be understanding. Like, look, I'm not mad or anything. Just this is not what I ordered. Can I get another one? And then they're like, sure thing. I never had somebody when I asked them, hey, this isn't the right order. Can I get another one? Never had someone, I guess, and then take it to the back. No, like I never had that issue happen. Right, so right. It's the way you approach it.
If I ask for another one and they do that, I want my money back after that.
I am so uncomfortable sending food back.
I don't send it back. I
so
just don't.
Uncomfortable.
Either I say I'm fine, it's don't worry about it, or I just say no, nope, I don't want anything. Give my money back. I'm fine.
I don't know how my brother does it. My brother can complain about a cocktail, like a drink, and not only do it like directly into their face, but like make them laugh about it, and then he'll get a second drink for free. So he'll get like two drinks. He'll be like, this martini isn't made good at it. And he'll do something. I don't know how he does it. Mm-hmm. He's in sales, so I guess that's how he does it.
Yeah. Beating the system.
And like, he'll end up being best friends with the server and get a second drink out of the deal. And he'll start the thing with, yeah, this martini isn't made right. And I'll be like, if I said that, I'm getting punched in the face.
But yeah.
I don't know how some people can just do it.
Yeah, it's hard because I know, like, I've been on a couple of dates where, like, a girl would get the wrong thing. Well, not the wrong thing, but didn't get what she asked for. And then it'd be like, I'll just be like, go ahead and take it back. She's like, nah, just eat around it. And I'm just like, why would you eat around it? Like,
you either.
I'm allergic to it, and I may, like, my cheeks may blow up if I eat it. But you know what? I'll just eat around it. I got a fork.
The text line, 615-737-1025. The Scrooge movies. They always ate Goose, Tiny Tim and the family.
Okay.
Maybe Goose was a blue collar, more of the different. Also, on the text line, somebody wants to know, what kind of eyesight do you guys have that you can see the cheerleaders from the upper deck? I like that one.
No, I said you can't see them from the upper deck.
You definitely
I guess
cannot.
Had goggles.
You definitely cannot.
I mean, binoculars, not goggles, but binoculars.
I don't know. You can't see the cheerleaders. Man.
If you got some
binoculars. Ain't nothing you can
binoculars
see on those cheerleaders.
Like, hey, what you looking at, boy? Oh, nothing.
Just checking out the down and distance, Dad.
Hey, down and distance is that way. Why are you looking the other way?
Yeah, they're lined up on that end,
exactly.
Son.
Why are you looking at the north end?
All right, we'll be back. We'll take a look at does Tennessee and Memphis, do they have an excuse to continue playing? And Joe Burrow, greatest college season of all time? We'll do all that when we return right here on Morning Drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.